In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is a feast day in the church. Today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of our lectionary and liturgical year, the last Sunday after Pentecost. It's also a day that the church sets aside for an idea about Christ instead of an event in his life. I think I mention this every year because it's one of my favorite liturgical facts. Pope Pius XI instituted the Feast of Christ the King to the Roman Church in his 1925 encyclical letter, Quas Primus, in response to growing secularism and what he saw as the greatest threat to the church and humankind in Europe, democratic government. He wanted something that reinforced the rights and the role of kingship, focusing on Christ's dominion and, by extension, the right of those with royal power to exercise their God-given responsibilities. While this notion is the subtext of what he writes about, he really is concerned by the growing secularism around the world. And I remind you that this is in 1925. Being concerned about society losing its faith is nothing new. Now, I'm going to ignore completely how a day meant to reinforce monarchy, created less than a century ago by a pope, has managed to make it into the list of commemorations for most Protestants. We're going to pretend like that somehow makes sense, and we're going to move on and talk about this notion of kingship and with our lessons for today. Our gospel lesson comes from late in Matthew's gospel, just before the Passion of Christ. Some scholars call it the judgment of the pagans, and others refer to it as the last judgment. In our reading, Jesus is seen separating sheep and goats, described as a king on his throne, rewarding his subjects according to their adherence to his great ethical commandment of compassion. The passage comes in the last great teaching discourse in Matthew, a long section about the end of the world and the time of completion. And it follows numerous parables about being ready for whatever it is that may be coming, whenever it may get here. We've heard about a thief in the night, a slave and a master, foolish bridesmaids who are unprepared, slaves given trust over small things while the master is away. Apocalyptic stories about judgment and being prepared. Maybe that's why, before we began calling it Christ the King Sunday, this day on the liturgical calendar was often referred to as the Sunday of Doom. It just doesn't quite have the same ring to it, though. Our gospel lesson is one of the most remembered and most loved, if not often ignored, passages from Scripture. It's been quoted by presidents, by civil rights leaders, artists, and others. It's even the refrain in the songs in the 90s by a band called Cake. It's a story about sheep and goats. Why sheep and goats? Well, this lesson actually came up in one of our Wednesday morning Bible study classes, and I did some research on the matter. Now, none of the commentators that I found really seemed to know, although most made a guess, and most thought their guess was correct. The one I liked the best, though, is that the sheep and goats were often kept together by the herders. Sheared sheep and goats from a distance look almost identical. A shepherd would have to physically go and check, dare we say judge, each animal. Now, if you thought the sheep and the goat thing was sort of weird and confusing, so apparently did the sheep and the goats in the story that Jesus tells. Both the sheep and the goats in the vision of the final judgment were surprised and confused. They both act like they have no idea what Jesus is talking about. And honestly, you almost have to feel sorry for the goats. The story doesn't say the goats were bad people. You just get the feeling that in their surprised response, that if they had known what Jesus was going to judge them by, they would have acted differently in life. In the Gospel of Thomas, one of those historical books that did not make it into the Bible, but has become rather popular in recent years, Jesus is reported to have said as he passed someone giving alms to the poor, "Bless you if you do not know the good you are doing. Curse you if you know the good you are doing." The words of Thomas are challenging us to look at what motivates our actions, how much at the core of who we are
is the good we do? It's an uncomfortable question, but an important one, nonetheless, that we must ask ourselves. So I'm going to say it again. How much at the core of who we are is the good we do? Now, in our story, the sheep had no idea who they were visiting or feeding or clothing. They only saw a fellow human being that needed help, and they responded. It's like one of my favorite quotes from Thomas Merton. Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire if they are worthy. The Bible's central message is not about believing in God so you can go to heaven when you die. In fact, in the Gospel according to Matthew, belief in and of itself is not sufficient for the disciples. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus laments that many people will call him Lord, but only those who act upon his teachings can be his true followers. A lot of people from a distance can look like Christians, like the sheep of this parable, but on closer inspection, turn out to be the goats. Giving ourselves is something that we should make instinctual, something we should do without thinking about it. And I have to admit, I'm not quite there yet. And I feel like many days I'm still pretty goat-like. But I would like to think I'm working on it each and every day. Now, this is all good and well. And I could talk about this passage for hours. It has so many layers of meaning and so many implications for our lives, but I won't because I want to go get lunch here after a while. So why does this concept of being sheep rather than goats, of being a person centered on making the world a better place rather than just giving up lip service to God in heaven, how does this all tie in with the kingship and the reign of Christ? The answer may lie in the words of the man who created this feast day. Pope Pius XI said this whenever he wrote of the reason that the day was needed on the Christian calendar. He said, "The faithful, moreover, by meditating upon these truths, will gain much strength and courage, enabling them to form their lives after the true Christian ideal. If to Christ our Lord is given all power in heaven and on earth, if all men purchased by his precious blood are by a new right subjected to his dominion, if this power embraces all men, it must be clear that not one of our faculties is exempt from his empire. He must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls, or to use the word of the Apostle Paul, as instruments of justice unto God." My brothers and sisters, by living into the reign of Christ, the King of all creation, my King, your King, our King, whether some like it or not, we become the sheep. We become the people that God wants and needs us to be. People who feed the hungry, tend the sick, comfort those in prison, welcome the stranger, give care to all those in this hurting and broken world. When we commit acts of charity for the sake of love without giving thought of reward for it, we have lived into the reign of Christ. We have brought that hope that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And we bring it just a little closer to reality. The alternative, of course, is to become the goats, looking like we may be Christian, but upon scrutiny, found to honor God only with our lips, but not in our lives. That, my brothers and sisters, is a terrifying thought. I'll close out today by a portion of a sermon given by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. It was preached just 2 months before his murder. In it, he talks about the reign of Christ in our lives.
He says this, if Christ is ruler over our lives, then my Nobel Peace Prize is less important than my trying to feed the hungry. If Christ is king, then my invitations to the White House are less important than that I visited those in prison. If Christ is Lord, then my being Time Magazine's Man of the Year is less important than that I try to love extravagantly, dangerously, and with all my being. My brothers and sisters, Christ is King. It doesn't matter who made the holiday. It only matters that we let him rule our lives, rule our hearts, and that we are obedient to go and serve and love. Amen.